Welcome to It Just Means Less, where we talk all things SEC sports. Here are your hosts, Wells Parrigian and Jacob Holman.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the It Just Means Less podcast. I'm your host, Wells Parrigian, here, as always, with my co-host, Jacob Holman. How are you, Jacob?
Man, I'm good. It's a little different doing this. It's been like we hadn't done it in a long time.
Yeah, about a month. We lied to our viewers to say we're going to come out in about a week, 2 weeks. Ended up being four or five, but that's okay. Not much sports to talk about right now.
Yeah, you know, life happens. You know, we've been too busy getting a little ball in ourselves. So we've just been busy. It's a little different when you got stuff to do all summer. You got to travel because I know we both are at a little distance in between us and somebody special in our lives.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's getting around that time where fall camp has begun. We've already had SEC Media Day, so less than – and what is it? I think when this comes out, it'll be 2.5 weeks to week zero.
Yeah.
So 3.5 to the season start. So, I mean, it's getting close.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. It's, you know, just got two new teams in there. And then you got like some coaching changes, like especially in Alabama. And, you know, I know for you, you know, you're kind of interested to see what happens at Auburn in year two under, you know, Hugh. So, it's just going to be a lot to do. You know, LSU, who are they going to be, you know, with Nussmeier, how is he going to step up? So just a lot of difference and a lot of new faces in the SEC. And I think it's going to be fun to see what happens.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be fun to see what happens, but on our end, it's hard to predict. I mean, there's a lot of unprovens this year. I mean, LSU, Tennessee, what are they going to look like at quarterback? What is Nico going to look like at Tennessee? What is Garrett Nussmeier going to look like at LSU? In my opinion, those are two of the biggest sway teams that they could finish with one loss or they could finish with four or five. And in my opinion, it's all going to depend on how quarterback plays. They're going to have LSU, Nussmeier will be a junior, so 3 years in the system, and then Nico will be sophomore, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So a little bit younger guy, but I mean – if anything, based off what, you know, the recruiting sites had him, Nico could be special. So it'll be interesting to see how Heupel can use him.
Yeah, I'm excited just to see. I think one team I'm excited to see is just how is Texas going to – like, how are they going to transition into the SEC? Obviously, they – you know, if you go off last year, you know, when they came into Tuscaloosa and won the game, I feel like they, you know, didn't really have any problems. So, you know, it's going to be – excuse me. They're going to have an interesting early test at the big house on week two. Mm-hmm. And I think I think how they plan that game will definitely help them out down the road as far as, you know, going into certain environments, because I think that place sits, 111?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that place is going to be rocking too. So, you know, I think that'll set them up well for see what happens in the conference play.
Yeah, I mean, Texas, we'll talk about a little bit in the projections when we do later. But, I mean, if they can escape the big house and they can escape Georgia at their place, after that, they play Vanderbilt, Florida, and Arkansas 3 weeks in a row with a bye week in between. I mean, they are going to be sitting pretty good shape on the back half of the schedule if they come out with one loss from the first six games or so.
Yeah, there, you know, though. I, you know, not to have any spoilers, but I think we both think really highly of them this year to see what happens. So,
all right, I guess we'll go ahead and jump into our season predictions. You know, last year we badly attempted to go through and preview each team. We both realized that was a bad idea, and that's kind of the reasons we've been inactive, because we just didn't want to do that again. So this, we're going to go straight into our predictions. Shout out Playoff Predictor for helping us do these, and it's a lot easier when they're letting you just go through there and click each game versus you having to write it down and all that. So I guess we'll just go through each game, go through each team 1 through 16, and who we have one, who do I have 16, and just, you know, a few sentences about why. All right, you want to go first, Jacob, or me?
You start it off.
All right. Well, you want to go 1 or 16?
Let's go from the bottom up.
Okay. 16. I have Arkansas. 3-9, 0-8 in conference play. I don't see them winning a conference game. And I'll tell you else, they better watch out when they play UAB week 2 or 3 and La Tech halfway through the season, because I just don't think Arkansas is that good. I think Sam Pittman's going to be out of the way, whether he's fired or retired, because I listened to it was Locked On Arkansas's podcast the other day, and they said that they think Sam Pittman's gone, no matter if they win 10 games or if they win 3 games, that he's just about time for him to retire. So it'll be interesting to see. But for the Arkansas fans, I have them finishing last in the conference.
Yeah, at 16, I have Arkansas too. I have them going. We both have them going 3-9, but 0-8 in conference play. Like you said, you don't, you know, I feel like those games like UAB and everything can get those little smaller teams can sometimes throw you a punch, especially when they don't have anything to lose coming in there, because like they're getting paid to come play. So, you know, at the end of the day, they don't really have much to lose. They're just coming in there to play. So, but I think I just don't really see Arkansas succeeding this year. I have them going 3-9 and 0-8 in conference play. And then at 15, I have Vandy. I have them going 0-8 as well. 3-9, same thing. I just don't, you know, I don't really know. Are they going to win a game they're not supposed to, you know? Is it going to be one of those type things where they just, you know, find a way to win, maybe win their first conference game, and everybody's like, okay, Vandy might be, you know, Vandy might be not as bad as they thought, and then they go 0-7 the rest of the way out or something like that. So I just, you know, I feel like it's going to be typical Vandy. So I have them at 15.
See, and at 15, I have Florida. Florida 4-8, 1-7 in conference play. It's my prediction. They got a brutal schedule, man. They play Samford, Miami, Florida State, and Central Florida, UCF, as their out-of-conference games. And they'll be lucky to get two, in my opinion. Well, I guess I'd have them getting three, but they easily could come 1-3 out of that non-conference stretch. And then they got a brutal, absolutely brutal SEC schedule, probably the hardest of anybody in the SEC. So I just don't think they're going to be able to put it together. And this could be a last year with Group of Five Billy Napier. I don't know for sure that they'll fire him just because of how brutal the season is. But I'm not high at them. And then at 14, I have Vanderbilt. I have Vanderbilt going 4-8, 1-7 conference play. I do have them winning one. I think you will see Vanderbilt win conference game. But I'm interested to see, because their transfer quarterback is I'm all too familiar with. I watched him last year at New Mexico State whoop Auburn and Jordan Hare. And they're coming back to Auburn again this year, as in he's coming back with Vanderbilt. So I'm a little nervous. Hopefully he won't do that again. But I think Vanderbilt will be able to get one game, probably leaning towards South Carolina right now, but maybe Kentucky earlier in the year. So give me Vanderbilt at 4-8, 1-7, and 14th in the conference.
Yeah, I have at 14, I have Florida. Have them going 3-9, 0-8. I've got three teams going 0-8. You know, how realistic is that? Probably not very, but I'm just not very high on any of these three. Like you said, I think this very well could be Billy's last year. If they don't make a bowl game, I think he's gone. So I, you know, I'm not very, very high on Florida either. So I have them at 14 going 3-9, 0-8. And at 13, I have Oklahoma going 6-6, 2-6 in conference play. One of their wins being an upset against Texas in the Red River Rivalry. You know, that game's kind of like the Iron Bowl. You just never know. You never know how that one's going to go. So I see Texas having a possible slip up at some point, but I'm really, you know, I don't really know how, you know, how is Oklahoma going to transition? You know, so I have them going 6-6 and 2-6 in the conference and being 13.
See, and for me, I have 13th. I have South Carolina. South Carolina 5-7, 2-6 conference play. Looking like Lenore Sellers is going to be the starting quarterback. I know Tanner, you know, our friend Tanner is really high on Lenore, said he was a really good player, but I'm just not so certain yet on how it is. They had Robbie Ashford transferred up there, and I think he's going to sit on the bench. So he's at least better than Robbie. And Robbie won, you know, the starting quarterback at Auburn. He won 3 or 4 games. So, you know, if Lenore's is law of averages, he should be able to win 2 or 3 games at South Carolina conference games is what I mean. But I'm just not so sure. And I think Beamer could possibly be on the hot seat too if he goes 5-7, 2-6 this year. And then 12th, I have Mississippi State, 6-6, 2-4 in conference play under Jeff Levy's first year. They're another team that could be a little interesting. Their quarterback is a transfer from Baylor. I'm drawing a blank on his name. It's this bad podcasting, but he's a transfer from Baylor. And so they could be a team that with Levy throwing the ball around and, you know, his high-powered offense, that they could surprise people, could scare some teams, especially some teams that are weak on the back end. But I just think they're going to be average this year. So I have Mississippi State at 12 going 6-6, 2-4.
Yeah, I think it's Jackson Arnold.
No, Arnold's Oklahoma's quarterback.
Oh, okay, that's right. You said Levy, and I was thinking Oklahoma. Sorry,
Yeah.
State. I got you. All right. So at 12, I also have Mississippi State. I have them going 5-7 in conference and 2-6 in SEC play. I don't really know enough about Mississippi State to be confident in them. I know their over under line is set at 4.5. So I guess if I was a betting man, I would take the over on that. But they're gonna have a little bit of a stretch where I think they go to Texas.
I think that.
They go to Arizona State. That's one of the that game's probably gonna be at 9:30 our time, so that'll be a tough one for them. Also just Levy may can come in and do something, but I think if they go 5-7 or 6-6, I think in his first year they would be content to a sense. Just
Yeah.
because.
I mean, I'm gonna jump in here. I mean, if you look at their schedule, they finish working back. They finish Ole Miss, Missouri at Tennessee, and then they also play at Georgia, A&M at home, at Texas, and then they got to go to Arizona State. So it's a tough schedule by far.
So, if they can find a way to be bowl eligible, I think they'll be very content with that. Just with the draw that they have this first year with the new format. So, I got State at 12, and then at 11, I have Kentucky at 7-5 and 3-5. Brock Vandegrift didn't get too much playing time, if any, at Georgia. So I think transferring and maybe getting a chance maybe to put himself on the map and see what he can do. But besides that, I don't really know too much about Kentucky and how they'll be. But I feel like a 7-5 or 8-4, they're content with that, because they're not just a football powerhouse. So I don't really see them being too successful this year, but at least making a bowl game.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I have Kentucky at 11, also 7-5, 3-5 in conference play. And I mean, you basically hit the nail on the head. I don't see them being special, but I see them being average. They always are. Mike Stoops just always seems to find a way to win 7-8. I think he's only won 10 games once, but 7-8 games every year, find a decent bowl game, maybe go play in the Music City or something like that. But I mean, Vandergriff didn't beat Carson Beck out. And at the time, you thought maybe Carson Beck might have not as good been as Stetson Bennett, but Carson Beck might probably gonna be a first round draft pick this year, at least second round. So he had a tough battle. So we'll see what Vandergriff can do at Kentucky. But losing, remind me of the running back that transferred from Vanderbilt to Kentucky last year. Do you remember who I'm talking about?
Because I was gonna put him as my freshman of the year. Well, goodness gracious, I can't
Yeah.
remember.
Anyways, if you listen to the episodes last year, we talked about him a good bit. So their run game's a little bit of a question. So if it's all in the hands of Brock Vandergriff, I don't see them winning more than 8 games. So I got Kentucky at 7-5, 3-5. And then at 10, I have Oklahoma going 7-5, 3-5 in conference play. They start off the SEC playing Tennessee at home at Auburn, bye week, Texas and the Red River rivalry. There's a good chance they could go 0-3 in that. I think right now I'm going to take them to go 1-2, and I think they're going to beat Auburn at Auburn right now. But if they don't, even better for Auburn. So I'm going to take Kentucky. I mean, not sorry. I'm going to take Oklahoma to finish 10th because Jackson Arnold, new quarterback, and I've heard on Locked On Sooners that they were replacing all but one of their starting offensive linemen, or maybe all of them. It was either all of them or four of them. So that's a tough combination, especially when you start with a decently hard SEC conference schedule to start with. So I'm going to take Oklahoma to finish 10th, 7-5, 3-5 in conference play.
All right, and at 10, I have South Carolina going 6-6 and 3-5 in conference play. Like you said, I don't necessarily know if they're going to be special, but I think Beamer might be on the hot seat, depending on what happens. I think Lenoris has potential. I know you said Tanner has talked about him being a pretty good quarterback. So I think, maybe I don't know how their schedule opens up as far as, non-conference, but they'll have, they're going to be starting off with Old Dominion, then they're jumping two SEC games back to back with at Kentucky, LSU at home. So, that's not really much practice for Lenoris to kind of get his feet wet in a sense. So, I see them being average, nothing special. But hopefully Lenoris can, make a name for himself and, probably enter the portal or something. All right. And at 9, I have Auburn. 8-4, 4-4 in conference play. I see Cam Coleman being their biggest star. Which I'm not, I'm not trying to knock Auburn, but their passing game is not just wasn't last year was not very good. Peyton Thorne, I don't think Peyton Thorne's a bad quarterback. I just don't think that he's great. So, I think it's gonna, if they don't have the offensive line to throw it, then Cam Coleman's really not going to be that big of a difference, because you got to get it to him. So, if they can, is Jarquez back?
Yes.
He'll have to, I think he'll have to carry a lot of the load for them to be successful this year. And I got them going 8-4, 4-4, finishing right there in the middle of the SEC.
Yeah. So going back to Kentucky, Ray Davis was his name. That
Ray
just
Davis.
dawned on me. As soon as I quit talking and you started, that's when it came to me. It could have came to me when I was thinking of it, but so it had to come to me.
I knew it was Ray something. I couldn't remember if it was like the second or third or something like that.
All right, back to our predictions. 9, I have Texas A&M. 8-4, 4-4. They open up the season with Notre Dame at home. Now, that's going to tell us a lot about the season. You got first-year head coach Mike Elko coming in there. You don't have Bobby Petrino no more at offense coordinator. He went back to Arkansas. And you got Connor Wayman, who has not been healthy in his 3 years there. 2 or 3. Maybe it was, I know, was he a true, I think he was a same class as Cade Klubnik. So 3 years there, he has not been healthy for a whole season yet. So they're a big question mark for me too, but their schedule is not hard. They play a pretty easy schedule. So I have them going 8-4, 4-4 in conference play, just for the fact of first year coach and an easy conference schedule. I think they'll be better than average. And then at 8, I have Auburn. I have Auburn going 8-4, 4-4. Well, those four losses are probably going to be Alabama, Missouri, Georgia. And then I think they'll lose one of the three between A&M, Oklahoma, and at Kentucky. I know you're talking about Peyton Thorne, and I agree. I mean, Peyton, the offense will go as Peyton Thorne goes. But if you look at the situation that he was in last year compared to this year, the offense line, you're bringing 4, you're 5 back, and the only one that you brought in is projected to be an all-conference player. So that's good on the offensive line. Like I said, you got Jarquez Hunter, you got Damari Austin, you got Jeremiah Cobb. All three of your backs are back from last year. And then you got Rivaldo Fairweather, who I think is the best tight end in the SEC now that Brock Bowers is gone. Maybe you could say Oscar Delp or maybe Mason Taylor at LSU, but I think it's going to be Rivaldo will be one of the best at the end of the year. And then you look at receiver, you got Cam Coleman, who, and then on the other side of the Z is probably going to be, they call him KLS, and he transferred from Penn State, 3-year starter at Penn State. So we have the pieces around Peyton. So Peyton doesn't have to be great. Peyton doesn't have to be like Bo Nix in 2020 or 2019, where he was just running for his life and just making plays. Peyton just needs to be average, and Auburn has a favorable schedule that they can go 8-4, 4-4, which I think is a win. And they could go 9-3 if he's better than average. If Peyton Thorne is a above average quarterback in the SEC, I think Auburn could win 9 games. But for right now, I have him going 8-4 and 4-4 in conference play.
Yeah, at 8, I have A&M 8-4, 5-3 in conference play. Like you said, I think that game against Notre Dame, how they start the year off, is going to be a telltale sign of who they are. I don't. Who's at quarterback for them?
A&M, it's going to be Wayman, Connor Wayman.
Okay. I think they're gonna be. I think they're gonna be average. Mike Elko, coming from Duke, knows a little bit about winning. He's had some upsets in his career, but I just don't know with this conference schedule. I just don't know how they're gonna be.
That Elko, Riley Leonard's supposed to be the quarterback in Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So that'll be former head coach versus former quarterback, or and so that'll be a let's see who can top the other one. Is it was Riley Leonard good because he's Riley Leonard, or was he good because they had Mike Elko and vice versa? I guess we'll see.
Yeah, so that's 8. At 7, I have Tennessee going 10-2, 6-2 in conference play. So this is kind of where I think some of your teams, it'll come down to who, head-to-head stuff. Tennessee, I have them losing to Alabama at home, and I think my other one is Georgia. I think I have them losing at Georgia. So, two games that really makes sense that they would lose. But I think 10-2 would be a great year for Tennessee. I think they'd be happy with that because, maybe 10-2, does it get you a spot with the two losses that you have? If they are Alabama and Georgia, like, could you, squeak in at that 11? Because, 12 will obviously go to the group of five, probably. But, could you see a possible slip in?
I think the right 10-2 does, but if you look at this, you have like we're talking about Tennessee going 10-2, 6-2, and seventh in the SEC. So obviously you're gonna have four. I guess it's three. No, it's four. Four your Power Four conferences and your group of five. So you're gonna have five automatic bids, and then of the other seven spots, do you see six SEC teams other getting in? I don't know. So I think it depends what happens in front of them. Are they fourth in the SEC in 10-2, or are they seventh in the SEC at 10-2? I think that depends. All right. For me, seven, I have Missouri. I have Missouri going 9-3, 5-3, which is a great season normally for Missouri. Now, you could argue with, Luther Burden and Cook at quarterback that they probably should go 10-2, but I'm just not as high yet on Missouri because it's hard to get high on Missouri, honestly, just historically. When they first entered the SEC, they were pretty good, and then they fell off, and then Drink has been able to get them, back up to the middle or above of the pack. But for right now, just because of, and this is going to be mean, but just because of who they are, Missouri, I have them losing three games, which there's nine other teams below them that would love to lose only three games that we have predict. But for Missouri, I have them going 9-3, 5-3 in conference play. And then I have Tennessee going six, at 10-2, 6-2. And I think I have the same losses as you do. I think I have them losing Bama at home and then at Georgia.
All right. At six, I have Ole Miss, 10-2, 6-2 in conference play. The two losses I have them having are, I think they're at LSU. I think they lose that one. And then do they play Texas?
I don't think so. I think Missouri, actually, I don't think they have to go. I think they have a pretty favorable schedule.
Yeah, I know they do early on for sure.
Yeah, they I know they go to UMass at some point, which is kind of crazy. They play Alabama.
I'm talking about Ole Miss.
Ole Miss. Yeah, they do go to LSU. Sorry, I was looking at the wrong person. Yeah, they go to
Go to LSU and then West.
Georgia. They play at Georgia.
That's the other loss. Those are my two losses, LSU and Georgia. So, I think 10-2. I think 10-2 is good. Are they happy with that? Maybe not. If they can go 11-1, you never know. Could speak in that, maybe 8-9 seed, something like that. So at six, I have Ole Miss. And then at five, I have Missouri at 10-2, 6-2. I don't know if they play each other. I have Missouri losing at Alabama. I know that. And then I also have them, I think,
They don't play Ole Miss.
I think maybe a loss to maybe Oklahoma.
I could see A&M at A&M too.
I think it may have been at A&M. So just, I think the way it looks, like just maybe head to head, how the playoff predictor has it, it had above, even though they had the same record. So.
All right. Five for me is LSU. I have LSU going 10-2, 6-2 in conference play. I have them losing Alabama at home, and I have to think Ole Miss is going to beat them at home. And I'm just, like I said earlier at the beginning of this at the podcast, I don't know how Garrett Nussmeier is going to look. If he is good, then they will be really good. If he's not, then they will struggle. They lose Neighbors and Brian Thomas at receiver, and they lost their Heisman Trophy quarterback. And I still have them going 10-2, which to me scares me a little bit. But I do think that Brian Kelly will have them ready to play throughout the year. So I have them going 10-2 and 6-2 in conference play. And then four, I have Ole Miss. I have Ole Miss going 10-2, 6-2 in conference play as well. I have them losing at Georgia, and then I also have them losing to Oklahoma, which most people wouldn't think. Oh, they're going to lose to Oklahoma, but I just see Lane Kiffin losing one that Lane Kiffin should not lose to, because I think that's how he's been as a coach. When they were talked about Lane Kiffin at the Auburn job, they lost three straight at the end of the year because he was just drafted. So they lost Quinshon Judkins to Ohio State, so it's going to be on Jackson Dart. So I do have them going 10-2, 6-2, and I think they'll be in the playoff. I think they will be in. So give me Ole Miss at four.
Yeah, at four, I have LSU going 10-2, 6-2. The two losses I have them are, I have them losing to Alabama, and then I have them losing on the road at A&M. You just that's kind of a middle of the week or middle kind of late toward the year game. Maybe A&M, especially if it's a night game, I think that might. I remember the eight overtime game, wasn't it? So, you never know. So I just have, I think that environment's a really tough one to go in and win at. And then at three, I have Texas going 11-1, 7-1 in conference play. The one loss I have Texas having is to Oklahoma in the Red River rivalry. That game just, you never know what you're going to get out of that game. So I see them going, I see them having trouble at, I definitely see them having trouble at Michigan, but I think, I think they proved last year they could go on the road, especially with Quinn Ewers coming back and adding another threat in like Isaiah Bond. I think they have a chance to do something special. So I have Texas at three.
And for me, I have Alabama at three. I have Alabama going 10-2, 6-2. I have them losing to Georgia. And then I also have them losing. I forgot who I said I had them. I have to go back. I think I said I had them losing to at LSU is where I had them losing. And I think that's a pretty good season for Alabama. If you're first year coach with DeBoer and all that, I know FanDuel has a line at 9.5. So this is me taking the over on FanDuel's betting odds if I was a betting man. And again, I have Alabama in the playoff as well at 10-2, 6-2. I think Milroe will be able to carry Alabama. I'm a little bit worried playmaker wise outside of Milroe. They'll have Justice Haynes at running back, so they'll be fine running the ball. But does will Milroe have to? Will he be able to get? Will they be able to do like when Tua was there and he could throw it up to his first round receiver? There's four of them on the field at the same time. I'm not sure Alabama's there right now, so I worry a little bit as far as them going undefeated or one loss. But I do think the roster's still talented enough for them to go 10-2 and finish third in the SEC. And then second, I have Georgia. Georgia going 11-1, 7-1 in conference play, with their one loss being at Texas. I think they will be able to beat Alabama and Bryant Denny just because. And I have nothing other than me just saying that. I don't really have a reason behind that other than I think that it will happen. Carson Beck coming back with another year of experience. You got Kirby. Kirby's Kirby. He's gonna win his games. So I have Georgia going 11-1 and 7-1 in conference play.
Yeah, two. I have Alabama going 11-1, 7-1 in conference play. I have them losing to Georgia at home. Yeah, I think that'll be a tough one, especially after, last year's championship game. They're gonna want their get back, and I think it'll be the first SEC game of the year. Or am I lying? I know it'll be the biggest one, but I think it's the first.
It's week five, so unless y'all start four straight conference games, I think y'all play somebody else before that.
No, it's week four.
It's week four.
It's Western Kentucky, then South Florida, then at Wisconsin, then it's Georgia.
Wait, say that again.
It's Western Kentucky at home, then South
Or
Florida,
Florida. Okay.
and at Wisconsin.
The reason, bye week. That's where I was thinking the bye week. So, yeah, it is your first conference game, but it is week five. So I guess we were both right.
Yeah. So, first conference game, it's going to be a lot of hype around this game because, right, realistically, both should come in undefeated. So, it'll be a tough environment. Do have them going on the road and beating LSU and Tennessee, which is, a lot to say, but, I think maybe getting that punch early and then going back, recouping and then, going into the season can do some good for you. And then at one, I have Georgia, 11-1, 7-1 in conference play, and I had their loss being at Texas. I think Georgia's got a tough little schedule as far as the road goes, because you got to go to Texas, got to go to Alabama. But I think Kirby and Carson Beck will be just fine. And I have Alabama and Georgia playing for the SEC championship game.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I didn't even think about it. Georgia plays Clemson to start the year. They go to Alabama. They go to Texas. They go to Ole Miss. And then they have Tennessee at home. So that's tough. I mean, that is tough. For me, I have Texas at one, and I have them going 11-1, 8-0 in conference play, but I have them losing week two at the Big House. I just think it's hard to go to the Big House and win. But I would not be surprised if Texas is the 12-0 team here. And you're going to have all the kind of Texas fans in here saying, oh, the SEC ain't nothing. We just came in here and won the SEC and all that stuff. But just give it a few years. I think they came in at the right time.
Yeah,
If
for
they'd
sure.
have came in, 3 or 4 years ago, we would not be having this conversation. So to round it out, at number one, I have Texas going 11-1, 8-0 in conference play. All right. Do you think we should run through it one more time? Just 1 through 16?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
All right. I'll go for just 1 through 16, Texas, Georgia, Alabama, Ole Miss, LSU, Tennessee, Missouri, Auburn, A&M, Oklahoma, Kentucky, Mississippi State, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Florida, and then Arkansas coming in at 16.
Who's your champion? If Texas and Georgia were to play, who wins it?
Is it fair to say that I think Texas could win the regular season and Georgia wins the S in Atlanta?
No, that's extremely fair.
I think that I think if I was betting, that's what I'd say.
Yeah. All right. Well, at one, leading off, I have Georgia and Alabama two, Texas three, LSU four, Missouri 5, Ole Miss 6, Tennessee 7, Texas A&M 8, Auburn 9, South Carolina 10, Kentucky 11, Mississippi State 12, 13, Oklahoma, Florida at 14, Vanderbilt at 15, and Arkansas at 16.
All right. I guess we want to jump into our – we got our three awards like we did last year.
Yeah,
stay a little bit.
Let's go through it. Yeah.
All right. For Coach of the Year, I'm going to have Sark. I think you coming in the SEC first year and you either win and you go undefeated in SEC play, I think you're going to be the Coach of the Year. Especially with, you know, I have Georgia being 2 and Kirby. So it's not as like a big of a deal. But I could see DeBoer going 10-2 and getting the Coach of the Year too. But for me right now, I'm going to take Sark.
Yeah. So I got DeBoer winning Coach of the Year. Right now I have Alabama predicted 11-1. I have Georgia, Alabama, and Texas all tied at 11-1, 7-1. So you could see it being Sark, Kirby, or DeBoer. But I think if DeBoer goes 11-1, 7-1, and makes it to an SEC championship game in his first year, I think he wins Coach of the Year. All right. And then Player of the Year, I have it being Jalen Milroe. I think, like you said, he can carry Alabama to where if Alabama's going to go, how Milroe goes, 100%. So I could also see it being Quinn Ewers, you know.
Or Carson Beck.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of really good talent in the conference, but I'm going to be a homer and go with Milroe.
I'm not going to hold that against you because I'm taking Milroe as well. So you're not too big of a homer. I think Milroe is not going to have the pieces around him that Carson Beck and Quinn Ewers are going to have. And for that reason alone, I think it's, like you said, who's the most valuable player to his team. If you stuck Milroe and you stuck if you stuck him on Texas and you stuck him on Georgia, I think they're the clear favorite, no doubt. But if you stuck Quinn or Carson Beck at Alabama, are they as good of a team? I'm not sure because of how Milroe's skill sets are. Now, they're probably better NFL quarterbacks, but as far as being able to carry a team based off talent, I think Milroe probably has them right there. So for that reason, I'm going to take Milroe for Player of the Year, MVP, or whatever. And then for newcomer, Freshman of the Year, I'm going to take a freshman, and I'm going to be like, this is my homework. I'm going to take Cam Coleman. I mean, I can't remember a kid that has as much buzz coming into fall camp as Cam Coleman has had. I think he finished 5th or overall in the country on On3's industry rating, which even since before Bo came in 2019, we haven't had a freshman in 20 years that I've been following Auburn. Because if you think about Cam, but Cam was a transfer from JUCO. So for that reason alone, I'm going to homer my pick and take Cam Coleman.
Yeah. I'm going to go Rashad Amos at Ole Miss, the running back. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go Cam Coleman, but I didn't want to have the same pick. And, you know, I was thinking Ryan Williams, but, you know, how much impact is he going to make early on just because, you know, don't really know how much playing time he's going to get. But also, I just feel like Amos is going to start at Ole Miss. And, you know, he was really good at Miami, Ohio last year.
1,000 yard back.
Yeah. So replacing Judkins, you got a big, big shoes to fill, but I think he can do it. And I think he would be player or, you know, newcomer of the year.
All right. I guess that about wraps it up. So tentatively, do we want to say we'll see him back for week 0? Or are you thinking we might put something out next week?
Just stay tuned is all I can say. So, all right. Well, I think that wraps up season 5 or episode 1 of season 5. We appreciate you listening. We'll see you next week.